Welcome to Hope Found. This is a podcast about doing life with God. I found hope in the one and only true God through my salvation in Jesus. And I want to share my journey with God via the scriptures and personal interactions. Many of the podcasts will have a study of scriptures, and others will contain interviews with other people and their stories finding hope in God. Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad that you decided to join us today, and we are excited that you are here. I am Hope, of course, and my husband John is also here.
Yep, I'm here. Like Old Faithful, I'm always here.
Always here. this week I was thinking about eyes and how we protect our eyes. And kind of one of the natural things of protecting our eyes is when we sneeze. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried to sneeze and keep your eyes open at the same time. Have you ever tried to do that?
No, that actually seems counterproductive. I feel like when you sneeze, you should have your eyes closed.
Yes, well,
it feels better.
It's definitely a natural reaction. I don't know of anybody who's ever been successful in having their eyes open when they sneeze. Possibly there's somebody out there. I believe
they just don't have eyes anymore.
Right. As a child, I feel like somebody said at some point that your eyes would come like out of your head if you kept your eyes open when you sneezed. I'm pretty sure they were making it up.
Yeah, there's a lot of things people say to kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, don't make that face. It'll freeze.
Or don't swallow watermelon seeds. It'll grow a watermelon tree in your belly. Because you know watermelons grow on trees.
Watermelon tree. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. People say crazy things.
Yeah. It's actually not true. But I've heard that said.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah. I've never seen a person with a watermelon tree.
No. I think that they would be really, really heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I agree. They'd be a lot of broken branches.
But yeah, about eyes. I definitely haven't tried to keep my eyes open when I've sneezed.
Yeah. I think it's just a natural part of, hey, this is the best thing. Keep your eyes closed.
Well, and a good sneeze. I mean, it really, like, sometimes you're like, you sneeze and you're like, oh, that felt good.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. And it's funny how many different kinds of sneezes people have. Not that I want to get off on this tangent, but it just occurred to me.
Like the ones that are like, chew.
Yes. I'm like, chew. I'm like, what was that?
Not me, man. I sneeze and it's like, ah, blah, blah, blah.
Typically, it's once for me. Occasionally, you have a second one that follows up, but it's not one of those, like, you know, multiple sneezes that sometimes people have.
Yeah, once in a while that happens.
Yeah.
For me. I protect my eyes by sleeping.
Oh, yes. That's,
you know, just like,
yeah. Yeah. That's a good way. It helps them to get better and to not be red and bloodshot.
Right. Like a short time ago, I was trying to protect them on the couch downstairs.
Taking a little nice afternoon nap is always good.
Yeah.
Yes. Helps you get through the week.
Yep.
So concerning protecting our eyes, I was also thinking about, you know, whenever someone maybe is going to attack you or something like that, like the first thing you protect is your
face.
It's your face.
Fortunately, like, I'm not attacked very frequently, so I'm
thinking more movies and on TV.
Yeah, I don't know
I
that I've had to act on that one, but
right, yeah. But I mean, that would probably be my first go-to.
Yeah.
You know, if I wasn't prepared to defend myself, which again, not really in that situation, so I don't ultimately know what I would end up doing. But if I was trying to protect myself, I think that most people cover their face. Slash their eyes. And then, you know, if you're trying to maybe have some good defense, they have, again, from movies and shows, they have pepper spray, you know.
Oh, true.
And where do you spray the pepper spray?
In your eyes.
That's right. It's a very vulnerable place. It's
Man, without TV and movies, we would not know anything. We'd have no understanding
of
the way the
world
works.
Our lives are not as exciting as those things. We can just enjoy other people participating in those crazy things on TV.
Right, right.
Because
it's all real.
Yeah, we have enough excitement in our life. We don't need that kind. So yeah, I was thinking about the protecting of the eyes. And in fact, in Psalms 17:8, it says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings." And I thought that was a very interesting interesting thing. It kind of just grabbed my heart, and I just was reading through it, and I was like, okay, so David is praying to God and asking him to continue to protect him, which if you know anything about David's story, he needed a lot of that. But in Hebrew, because the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew, the apple of God's eye, or the apple of the eye, when it talks about here, it's actually talking about the black part. It's talking about the pupil. Or also, it's referring to a son or daughter. Hmm. So it sounds like kind of like weird, but I believe it's kind of in the tone of the apple of the eye is the pupil. And that's like when you refer to a child as being the twinkle in their parent's eye. Mm. Like it was, I don't know. I don't know how else to explain it, but like it's such a, when you really think about the eye, and you could do a study about the eye in the Bible, mm-hmm. and how it's like the window
right.
into you.
Right.
And that's, it's a very important place. It's a very sensitive, it's a very vulnerable place. It's also, it represents that. I mean, literally in the Hebrew, those words talk about that.
Yeah.
So David's saying, protect me like I am the center of your eye. You know, the apple of your eye is what it says, but that's literally what it's talking about. And as a son or daughter, which of course we are children of God, but I think it's like a deeper meaning of when we actually have our children, how they are part of us. They are, you know, it's that connection
yeah.
that you have. So I thought that was pretty cool. So today I wanted to talk about how, as far as identity goes, which I lacked in presenting at the beginning. So I'm going to say it now, that this is our last one in our series mm-hmm. of identity. So it's been fun. I've liked it. I think it's important. But so yeah, this is our last one. And this last one, we're going to talk about how I am protected. And it might seem kind of unusual, or maybe assumed. That of course, you know, God protects us because, you know, the other identity things where I am his child and he loves me. And, you know, whenever you're identified as that, you would assume about the protection. But God wants me to focus on this for today.
Sure.
I had another one, but, you know, he's like, nope, this is what we're going to talk about. So I'm like, okay, you do you, because me is no good. So, yeah, so from birth, we actually, even before that, we had this need or the desire to be protected and to be safe. Even, you know, that's kind of like one of the first things as a parent. You want to make sure that you hold their head, to, you know, so that it doesn't hurt their neck, and you want to make sure that they're secure and safe. It's kind of like your, I would think, first instinct, you know, like you just want to be careful, especially when they very first come out.
At least on the first child. Yes. Maybe the further Hopefully. You go, the less careful you are. I don't know.
Well, I think you learn more of what's okay.
Ah.
Of what won't necessarily hurt your child.
Right.
Beginning,
Josiah seems to be doing okay.
Right.
He's number four, so.
He's number four, and he hasn't, you know, been dropped or.
Right.
On his head or anything, right. So. But yes, so there is a need to feel safe. As the baby, of course, they can't, you know, verbalize that or express that, except for maybe when they don't feel safe. Even, you know, because they're in the womb so comfortable and so confined that, you know, that's why they recommend the swaddling as a baby, where you wrap the blanket just very securely around them so that their body's actually held together and kind of, you know, just, and it gives them a sense of security. Many times newborns or shortly after, if you just kind of let them and they're just flailing and you're trying to change their diaper, they're upset because mm-hmm. they don't feel safe. They feel like they're just like free and like, I don't know what's going to happen. So, and then, you know, as they grow up too, you know, possibly a more shy child might be hiding behind their parents' leg. You know, it's like, it's a place of security where they feel safe. They don't maybe want to be out and talking to anybody or things like that. I just was remembering when we used to swaddle our babies in the blanket. We called them burritos.
Yeah.
Because I thought they looked like burritos, but.
And Alexis didn't really care for it so much. She's the one that always would get her arms out. Yeah,
she would. She would wiggle her arms out every single time. And then she would proceed to pull the blanket that was on her over her head.
Yeah. See, she still doesn't like to be swaddled. Yes. It's amazing.
That's true.
24 and a half years old.
Swaddling meaning hugging. And we're not literally trying to wrap our 24-year-old in a blanket, but.
We should give it an effort.
Right. There's also things that provide safety for children that maybe they might not like. Rules.
Mm. They definitely don't like those.
No. Boundaries of some sort. I've learned that because I taught preschool for at least 12 years and kids don't like them. They don't like the rules. They don't like the boundaries. They don't like it. But if you don't have any of them and they just have free rein, they will continue to act out until you show them a boundary.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for a boundary. They're looking for the security of this is too far. So they know that they're being protected,
mm-hmm.
You know, similar to a schoolyard that is fenced in,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's to keep people who don't belong there out and it's to keep all the kids in.
Yeah.
So they might not like it. They might want to go gallivanting down and to wherever, to their friend's house, you know, from school. But no, this is where you need to stay in order to know that you're safe. You know, we need to know that you're safe and everything. So we all have this sense of security, even as adults. We want to feel safe. We want to know that we are protected, that we are being guarded. And so that's why we're going to talk about it today. And we can know that with God, we are. And the different ways that we look to be protected, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, basically everything that can kind of boil down to those four things. And God definitely protects us physically. Psalms 91 is a great example of that. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. The whole chapter is really, really good as far as that goes. It's actually Psalms 91 is a chapter that many people who are in the military or things, you know, kind of in that nature of a dangerous situation on a regular basis, maybe policemen, things like that, tend to pray over themselves, or maybe their parents prayed over them, you know, as a protection prayer type thing. I've heard that many times. Mm. But Psalms 91, 3-5 says, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare." So that's kind of a weird phrase, but it basically means enemy's trap.
Hmm.
So surely he will save you from the enemy's trap and from deadly pestilence, which is a fancy way of saying disease or some kind of sickness. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day. So this is just a couple of verses in 91 that just really point to physical protection.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more, Psalms 91, 10-13 says, "No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent."
Hmm.
So again, really pointing towards physical safety.
Yeah.
So this doesn't mean that stuff doesn't happen in life, right?
Very true.
We know that stuff happens. Sickness happens, disease happens, unfortunate circumstances, accidents, and things like that. Things happen. We live in a fallen world and stuff happens. But I do believe that God does protect us. I can remember a time, I think I was an older teenager, and we were out on a youth outing, And we were a little irritated because we were in this minivan and there was a whole bunch of us. We were coming back from, I believe it was Cedar Point or something. And there was a couple of kids that were, of course, dragging their feet and late getting back with the group. And so, you know, we had some traveling to do and it was kind of annoying, you know, that we had to wait for them. But we got all caught up and we got on the road. Things were delayed. And before we know it, we're like in the stopped traffic. And there was an accident ahead. And some of us, you know, I mean, we were stopped. We were out of the van. This wasn't just stop and go traffic. It was completely stopped. So we're out of the van and we're just kind of talking. And I forget who it was who brought it up, but somebody was like, if we would have left on time, that could have been us.
Right.
You know, whatever it was that happened. And so, you know, we don't wish that on anybody, but in the moment we were being thankful.
Mm-hmm.
We were being thankful that we weren't a part of whatever it was that happened and we weren't a part of that. And possibly that was
right.
The delay of some kids was helping protect us from, you sure. know. So do you have any instances like that? That
I mean, for me, I think because you did give me some notice on the question.
You're welcome.
5 minutes this time. I was thinking about when I was in my car accident and how much worse it could have been. You know, the fact that I didn't really get super hurt in that situation. Because, I mean, obviously, in car accidents, you never know how it's going to go.
Right.
And fortunately, that's the only one I've only been in one. And, yeah, I mean, going 70 miles an hour down the interstate and getting hit on and throwing you off the road. I mean, a whole lot of bad things could have happened, but.
And your car hit, the other car hit you, you hit the barrier, like you bounced.
Well, no, the other car hit the barrier first and then hit me. And then I went down off the road.
Well, after you hit the barrier, right?
No, the car just hit me.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the car just hit me twice. The car hit the barrier and came across and hit the front of my car and then kind of slid and the back of their car hit the back of my car. So I got hit twice, all going 70 miles an hour and, you know, was forced off the road down across the grass. And I mean, it was right after going over an overpass. So, I mean, it could have been a situation where I could have, the accident could have happened on the overpass and then what would have happened. And fortunately, when I went down across the grass and stuff and then across the on-ramp of traffic coming back onto the interstate, you know, I could have hit a car there and things like that. And, you know, none of those things happened. I came to a stop and was actually facing the right way and all those things. And, you know, of course, in the moment, I thought it was fine. And a little bit later, I realized I was stiff and, you know, I needed to get checked out. But I mean, but ultimately, besides just being sore, I was fine.
Right, right.
So it could have been a lot worse.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, still went to work that day. Don't know why, but I did.
You definitely did. I didn't know why either.
Because that's what you do. I was on the way to work. So, you know. Right.
Just got to grab a cab and just keep going.
Let's go.
Yep. So, yeah, so God does protect us, but there are things that happen. But I do recognize, I know that there's many times that he's protected us that we are completely unaware of, you know, obviously, because nothing happened.
Right.
But I'm convinced that there's absolutely times when, you know, when he protects us and we're just completely unaware of it. But there's also, it's important that we know that God protects us and he keeps us physically. I don't necessarily think that it's necessarily top of his priority list when it comes about protection, though. Just in going through this, I mean, we need to be confident in knowing that he does protect us. But there are certain things in scripture that point to when people do die. But if we have him.
Well, and it's not just in scripture. It's in life.
I mean,
you see things happen to good people. You see things happen to people that you know are walking with God. So, I mean, yes, we can be thankful for the times that we have been protected physically. But the reality is that that's not always the outcome, like you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it doesn't make God any less good.
Or
anything like that, or or you know that you know he let this bad thing happen to me. It's
right,
just how it worked out, I guess.
Yeah. Well, when I started really thinking about this, this scripture is what came to mind. This is 2 Corinthians 5:6-8. It says, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." So when we are following Jesus, when we are actively following him, if we do by some chance, for some reason, we are absent from this body, mm-hmm. this body dies, we know and we can be confident in, that we will be present with him
yeah.
in heaven. Yeah. So that's what it really boils down to, you know, as far as that goes. So it's win-win.
Yeah.
You know, he protects us here. And, you know, if it's time, then we get to go be with him.
Sure.
So, concerning spiritual protection, this is a very short point. If we're actively following Jesus, we're spiritually protected.
Sure.
I mean, that's really what it all comes down to. Right. We don't need to be worried about that.
Right.
You know, we don't need to be every week going down to the altar going, "Oh, I need to get saved again. Oh, I need to get saved again." It's there. You just need to nurture it. You need to talk to him. You need to be in the word and all the things that we talk about all the time, you know, talking to him and everything. And that ongoing relationship is your spiritual protection, period.
Yeah,
it really is.
And I think, like, just the same as what you were saying about the physical protection, I think that, I mean, the reality is sometimes there are attacks that come. I mean, the enemy does try to attack in ways sometimes. So, again, I think there are people who are walking with the Lord who still find themselves in those situations sometimes, right?
Well, yes, there's spiritual battle, but I'm talking about, like, the security of knowing.
Yeah, yeah, you said spiritual protection, so I didn't know if you're talking about it from the perspective of salvation, then sure. But if you're talking about, like, spiritual attack.
Protection. You know. Gotcha. No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you brought that up.
I mean, it's your point, so I don't know.
No. That's good. It's another, see, that's why we do this together.
Yeah.
It's a different perception of looking at it.
Right.
And so you're right. As far as spiritual security and salvation, we can know that.
Absolutely.
That we're going to be with him, you know, if we're following him. But at the same time, in that spiritual warfare. But I think that so much of that spiritual warfare lies in what we're going to talk about next.
Is it the mind?
Yes.
I knew it. And I didn't even read your notes.
No, you did not. And that's why I feel like the majority of scripture, like at least the majority of it, can be applied to us, to our protection mentally and emotionally.
Yeah.
Because that really, I mean, not to rip off, but the battle really is in the mind.
Yeah.
Like it really, really is. That's why the enemy lies. Because if we can believe his lies, then he throws us off.
Sure.
You know? So living in this world, we do face lots of different situations, obviously. That's why God's word is so important to keep us grounded. If we're grounded in him spiritually and we're in the word, it helps us emotionally and mentally. So to start off with, do you have a favorite verse that helps really keep you grounded in God?
I mean, Jeremiah 29:11 is my favorite verse, I think.
Okay.
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So
it's a good verse. You should look it up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that is a, because it's a reminder of a promise. You know, I think for me, looking at any verse that's going to help mentally, it's about being reminded of the promises of God.
Yes. About reminding ourselves.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Right. We don't need to remind God. He knows. It's his promise.
It's okay, though.
Right. We remind him for our benefit.
Yes. Yes. For sure. So I have a number of different verses, and there's so many. You could probably look at the entire Bible and pull out things that are encouraging, promises, truths that can help us in this way, but I grabbed a handful here. So Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. So obviously, we're not talking about how God is a building.
Right.
We're not talking about that. We're not talking about how we can go find God as a building and then we go there and we know we'll be safe.
Right.
So he is a strong tower and we are able to go into his presence. We're able to get close with him and he shelters us. So much of what we're going to read is symbolic, but it helps me. I'm a picture person.
Yeah.
So I love visuals because it helps me to emotionally and mentally get centered when I picture my happy place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And him as a strong tower.
Sure.
Psalms 18:1-3. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies.
Man, it's amazing how they write songs from Psalms, right?
Yes.
Like
it's a wonderful place to start.
Between the last verse that you read and then this one, it's like I've had a total of 3 songs now going through my head.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, and this is what the New Testament church, I mean, when after David wrote these psalms, I mean, he wrote the majority of them, but after they were written, that's what the church used.
Yeah.
This was their hymnal, for lack of a better word. I mean, they used the psalms to praise God. So yeah.
It's just funny because so many of the choruses I've thought of too are choruses from like my childhood.
Yes.
You know, like we sang, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower." Yeah. And then you went into the fortress one, mm-hmm. You know, praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress.
Oh, wow. That's
he's my deliverer. In him will I trust.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I will call upon the Lord.
Oh, the echo.
Who is worthy to be praised.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Lord liveth. Blessed be the rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted.
They just keep coming, guys.
You got more? So
I do, actually. You'll probably come up with some more.
It's like a game. We're playing a game.
Exactly.
The password is.
I like that show. Anyways. Okay. How about Psalm 61:1-4? Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. And then after those verses, it says Selah. So if you ever see that word, S-E-L-A-H, and you're like, you completely disregard it because no one knows what it means. It's just there. It actually means to stop and really ponder what you just read.
Mm.
So Selah, when you read it, just stop and just sit there and just let it soak in. Just read it again and read it again. Let it soak in. So anyways, did you come up with another song?
It's okay. Just continue. I did, but it's all right.
Okay. So there are many, many ones that help us emotionally and mentally. And I'm talking about these two together because I feel like they really go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever we read these scriptures, whenever we remind ourselves of the promises that he has for us, whenever we picture ourselves running into him and being under his wing and in that safety and being in that stronghold and how he's our salvation and he's our strength, all of those things. And we sing the songs about them, which help remind us of who he is to us. And it helps us emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So we're processing everything mentally, and it's great too to have those verses and to have those songs, because the songs ultimately help us to memorize the scripture, which is great. And it helps us to have the right mindset, to have that truth instead of, well, I'm lost. You know, I have no, I'm just out here floundering. I'm all alone. I've got no, you
right,
know,
like when no we, direction.
Right.
No.
When we start having those yeah. stinking thinking is what we call it. And all this junk that we can be thinking, all the lies that the enemy tries to tell us, or ones that we've just simply had on a broken record mm-hmm. in our mind that we've recycled and recycled in our heads, you know, and when we get rid of that stinking thinking and replace it with his truth, we mentally are protected. And then that helps us emotionally to feel stable and safe, knowing that God is there for us mm-hmm. in every way. Because if you are walking with him spiritually, you are protected. But then I guess the mental part, if you start to really believe the lies, can affect you both ways.
Sure.
You know, it can affect you spiritually also because it can make you doubt.
Right. You can like talk yourself out of it.
Right. I mean, it really is all connected.
Yeah.
It really is. So, yeah, there's so many. But even David, when he's running from his enemies who are trying to take his life, many of the Psalms he speaks about do talk about mentally and emotionally and how he needed to encourage himself with knowing who God is, remembering who he is. And fortunately for us, all of the junk that David went through, we get to benefit from. Mm. You know, we go through stuff too, but I don't. Last time I checked, there's nobody trying to hunt me down to kill me.
Right.
So, right. You know, I can be grateful for that, that that's the amazing part that came out of his 15 years of being chased after.
Sure.
You know, so it helped him to be grounded in God, remembering who God is to him. And we get to benefit from that. So the thing is that we need to choose to be protected. And you might say, of course I want to be protected. Why would I say anything different? But are you willing to do what God says in order to be in a position of protection?
Mm.
So there are things. This is not just, I am protected. Yay. I have nothing to do with this.
Right.
Are we willing to obey what God says?
Mm-hmm.
He gives a lot of clear instructions in the Word. I'm going to mention just a couple of them. And there's a bazillion verses to back up these couple, but I just pulled out a few. So we will be here for hours just listening to Scripture, even though it's a good thing.
You're giving some examples. It's yes. not an all-inclusive list.
That's right. You can always Google and just make sure you say Bible verses about, not just the subject.
Right.
But are we willing to trust Him? Which we've talked a lot about trust.
Mm-hmm.
Let go of what we think. Trust him, you know. And it's cool because these very first two parts actually have verses right before them. So I'm going to go ahead and read them together. I already read, they're both in Psalms 91. So I already read some latter verses, but there are pre-verses to them that give us some of the instruction in order to benefit from the protection after that. So this is Psalms 91, 1 and 2. Who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength, my God in whom I trust. So we trust him. Now I read verses 3 through 5 before, but I'm going to reiterate that. So this is the person, David, choosing to dwell in the shelter of the Almighty, and he's choosing to trust him. Surely he will save you from the enemy's trap and from disease and illness. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear of the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day. Now, let me reiterate here that he's not saying there's not going to be terror at night or arrows by day. He's not saying I'm going to keep you from the bad stuff. He's saying that you will not fear. Because the fear is that emotion.
Right.
Because we're going to choose to trust him.
Right.
And believe what he said mentally.
Right.
And then that's going to help us not to fear.
Yeah.
You know, we put our trust in him. And so, okay, let's do the next one. I kind of already mentioned this before, but I'm going to highlight it here. Making God our dwelling place. Psalms 91:9 says, if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling. And now I read 10 through 13, which is what I'm going to read again. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command the angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. But that's prefaced with making God your dwelling place.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't just pull those scriptures out of context. We have to read them all together, understanding that we have a part.
Right. You have to be dwelling in the right place.
Right. Exactly. If I'm dwelling in my stinking thinking.
Right.
That's not going to work so good.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
So it's really, really important for us to choose to be protected by obeying what he has for us. Some other ones that might be maybe a little bit more familiar. Don't worry.
Be happy. Oh, no.
I was waiting for that. Thank you for not failing me. I wasn't going to go there, but yes, that kind of goes hand in hand.
That's not in the Bible.
No, it's not. But Matthew 6, 25 through 27. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more vulnerable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So this isn't necessarily something to do. It's something not to do. Don't worry. Don't worry. We need to, again, it kind of is the flip-flop, I guess, of trust. We're going to trust and not worry. Those verses do go on to talk more about how he clothes the lilies of the valley and he takes care of them too. And they're here today and gone tomorrow. I mean, flowers and grass, they wither very, very quickly. And yet he still takes care of them. And I love how God shows us things in nature.
Mm-hmm.
To reflect what he does for us and the fact that he cares about creation. You know, he cares that he loves people. He definitely cares about people, but he cares about all of creation.
Yeah.
And so that's what I kind of like about this. But he says, don't worry. So don't worry.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people worry.
Well, and I think yes, the Bible says don't worry. And yes, that's the point you're making. But that's not always easy either. I mean, I don't think anybody's. I don't think that's what you're saying.
No.
I don't think you're saying,
no.
Just don't worry.
Just don't worry. That's it.
And that's it. We're all good now.
Just go put your head in the sand.
Right.
And don't worry.
It's just a matter of like, it's something we have to continually remind ourselves because you can find yourself lost in worry.
Yeah.
And when you're lost in worry, then.
Mm-hmm. You got to remind yourself of truth and the promises.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everything that we're talking about is definitely pointing towards, if we do this, if we do what God says, then it will help us to not do the other.
Right.
And here's another one. So Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice.
Clap, clap. Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice.
Yes. Yet again, another wonderful song.
Yep.
Old, but wonderful. And the next couple of verses after that, Philippians 4:6-7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer, petition, and thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So here's kind of the key. He's saying, don't be anxious. But this is what to do.
Right. He gives the instruction.
Exactly.
Right. Here's the your part.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's always a part for us to do.
Yeah.
And I think that is a huge part of I am protected. you know, I'm protected, but I have a huge part to do with this.
Yeah.
I need to listen to his instruction and do what we're supposed to be doing. So he's saying, you know, in every situation, prayer, letting God know what we need, what we're thinking, what we're feeling. He's big enough to take it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's big enough to take it. You know, I don't care what kind of day, just give it all to him. Mm-hmm. As mad as you are, as angry as you are, as sad as you are, ball, whatever. He is big enough. His shoulders are big enough. Just lay it all out, because he is the most secure place that you can just dump all that stuff out,
mm-hmm.
and then he will fill you up.
Mm-hmm.
But don't forget about Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. With Thanksgiving, it says by prayer and petition with Thanksgiving. So we're gonna, and David does that a lot. He does that a lot. He just lays it all out there. He's just like, God, these enemies, they're coming after me. They want to kill me, you know, and I'm running this way and that way. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing the way that I see David. And but yet he comes back with, but you are my strong tower.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back with Thanksgiving. He comes back with, but this is who you are. Mm-hmm. And I know that you are there for me. I mean, I tell everybody that. Give it all to him. Have your moment. Feel your feels. Get it all out. But make sure that you round it out with who he is.
Mm-hmm.
With how you know that he protects you.
Yeah.
How, I mean, you have to. You have to come around to that. No matter how long it takes you, you have to. With Thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that is beyond anybody's understanding will guard your hearts and your minds.
Mm-hmm.
Will guard your hearts, which is more or less a lot of your emotions.
Yeah.
And your minds, which is the mental part.
Yeah.
So that's a whole lot right there in those couple of verses. So, and I know that I like to take time to really break those down, because so many times we hear those. Oh, yeah, the peace of passes all understanding. Oh, thank you, God. You know, but like you have to really like let it settle in. Selah.
Right.
You know, Selah, let it sink in, like break it down, really look at what, you know, we get kind of conditioned sometimes that we just kind of miss the meaning if we hear it too much. So we can definitely know that I am protected. God does protect us in multiple different ways. We need to make sure that we're reading the word, that we know the word, because if we don't know it, then it's hard to have the truth to replace the lies.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also hard to obey it.
Because you don't know it.
Because you don't know it.
Right.
So obey what he tells us to do. So this has been a pretty fun, for me at least, little series on identity. We've gone through I am known, I am loved, I am a branch. And if that sounds strange, feel free to go back and listen to it. I am a child of God. I am a follower of Jesus. And I am protected. We've talked about more common identities that you've probably heard. And just a few unique ones that, like today, you know, maybe you haven't really necessarily heard it in that way. But I do not believe that this is a complete list at all. There are many different things that you can find your identity in. This was a good start, but I do have to reemphasize again that make sure that you are finding your identity in the eternal things of God.
Yeah.
That is the only place that is safe and secure. And it's never too early. It's never too early to teach about your identity in God. I think that if more children, if more middle schoolers had a better foundation of who they are and give them that confidence of who they are because of God, we wouldn't have nearly the mess that we have sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We were just talking to one of our daughters a little earlier, and she's sharing about drama, you know, high school drama, about relationships and this person, and she went from this guy that didn't treat her so well to this guy who didn't treat her so well. And all I can think of is, man, if she only knew,
mm-hmm.
if her identity wasn't found in trying to have a boyfriend.
Right.
You know, and it's just my heart. It's just never too early. So don't think that, you know, your 3, 4, 5 year old doesn't need to know who they are. We need to know who we are, but they need to know who they are too.
Yeah.
And to feel secure in who they are, you know, in God. So I do encourage that. The earlier, the better. Earlier, the better. Do you have any final thoughts on
that? No, no. I mean, you know, you talked about just that we're doing this, rounding out the series today. And because I obviously you did this as part of a life group, mm-hmm. It's been interesting just to hear the difference in how it's come out when it turned into these podcast episodes. So it's good.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, you know.
Yeah.
You thought that it was important for us to do it because I try not to overlap. I try not to do too much of the, you know, teach it over here and do it as a podcast. But you had mentioned early on how you thought that it was important, and I totally agreed. But it definitely morphed into its own thing.
Yeah.
And I just, honestly, I just try to lean into God and let him do whatever he wants to with it, because what he has to say is way more important than anything I can say. So, but thank you so much for being my stronger half.
I don't know about all that.
So thanks again, guys, for joining us for this. I really hope that this is something that you guys can carry for the rest of your life and share with as many people as you can. And until next time, continue believing and trusting in the one and only true God. And we will see you then.